KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a slight chance of light snow or flurries here in the area today, a high of 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Authorities in Montgomery County report the arrest over the weekend of a Henderson man on a fraud charge. 19-year-old Tyler Allen Dittus was taken into custody by Red Oak Police Saturday evening on a charge of forgery. Dittus was brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where he was being held on a $5,000 bond. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Tax season is here, and what's a better word to hear when you have Uncle Sam raiding your bank account than the word free? That's right, I said free. The TV Store, your local Verizon authorized wireless retailer, is making it easy to pay those government dues and still get a brand new smartphone. From the Droid Razr by Motorola or the Droid Incredible 4G LTE by HTC, there's several options for free or free after mail-in rebate debit card. Phones with a new 2-year contract agreement. You can have the power of the internet, navigation, even mobile hotspot in your hands with absolutely no upfront cost. With the ever unpredictable economy, all of us here at the TV Store, your Verizon authorized wireless retailer, want to take the stress out of getting your hands on that new smartphone. So come into the TV Store, your Verizon authorized wireless retailer today at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 243-3032. Activation, upgrade, early termination fee, and other fees apply. Coverage details at vzw.com.
Education spending and property tax cuts have been the focus so far in Iowa's legislative session, but some people think another change that could emerge this year is an increase in the fuel tax. Iowa's fuel tax is now 22 cents per gallon, including all fees. It hasn't been raised since 1989. Lawmakers have for years proposed raising the tax, and a commission appointed by Governor Terry Branstad in 2011 recommended an increase of 8 to 10 cents to boost funding for the state's network of bridges and roads. An effort to raise the tax by 10 cents failed in the legislature last year, but House Transportation Committee Chairman Representative Joshua Burns says he thinks similar legislation would have a stronger chance this session because it isn't an election year. Leaders at Grinnell College have decided not to scrap its need-blind admissions policy for now. Grinnell is one of the nation's wealthiest private liberal arts colleges, managing a $1.5 billion endowment that has grown to among the country's largest thanks to investment advice from former trustee and Omaha billionaire investor Warren Buffett. But the Des Moines Register reports the college's board of trustees had been considering pulling back from its need-blind admissions policy, where acceptance is not based on the ability to pay, because of budget concerns. On Saturday, the board voted to keep the need-blind policy, but will revisit the issue in the fall of 2015. If the college hasn't made sufficient progress toward fundraising and tuition revenue goals, it may end the need-blind policy. An 11-year-old Northern Iowa boy organized a bake sale and raffle so a sick friend gets a chance to live a long life as well. Tyler Arndt raised nearly $2,300 from the bake sale Saturday at a Mason City grocery store. The money will go to a foundation started by the family of Hayden Despenas. The foundation supports research into a cure for Friedreich's ataxia. Hayden has been diagnosed with a degenerative neuromuscular ailment, which can be fatal. Tyler made posters advertising the bake sale and also hit his goal of selling $1,000 in raffle tickets for a donated painting. Tyler told a newspaper that he thinks that Hayden might not live as long as other people, so, quote, he wants to raise the money so we can help him. A Cedar Rapids attorney with a gambling problem has been disbarred. The Cedar Rapids Gazette reports documents filed last week with the Iowa Supreme Court say Susan Hentz had taken $800,000 from clients' accounts for her gambling addiction. Hentz had been in practice since September of 1996. She admitted to the misconduct and did not fight disbarment. Hentz said in an affidavit that she regretted, quote, beyond my ability to describe the theft of funds belonging to my clients. She admitted to her gambling problem and said she hadn't gambled since entering treatment in October. No criminal charges have been filed against Hentz so far. An improved technique for breeding new varieties of crop plants may help researchers improve them without introducing genes from other organisms. Iowa State University agronomy professor Ken Wang says that genomic editing is a method of slightly altering a plant's own genetics to reduce disease susceptibility. For example, the method is known as the acronym TALEN.
Essentially, this TALEN technology will allow us to precisely edit specific site of a genome or plant genome to make changes that will bring the new traits or beneficial traits to farmers and to consumers.
The technique doesn't carry the same concerns as gene transformation or genetic modification, according to Wang.
I don't believe it should be regulated as a GMO because there's no extra pieces going in.
ISU researchers have conducted tests showing that rice can become more disease-resistant when the genome is edited. Scientists are exploring whether similar results would be found in corn, soybeans, wheat, and sorghum. Wang made her comments on Iowa Public Radio's Talk of Iowa program. Whether the drought continues or not, Iowa farmers will soon be able to check soil moisture levels at a dozen key spots statewide. Elwin Taylor, an agronomist at the Iowa State University Extension Service, says moisture levels can vary greatly over short distances, but this new network will offer farmers good ballpark figures.
People that have a sandy place and a place with clay already know they have great differences. But still, if we have some idea on a very common soil for the county of what is going on there, it will give an idea of how things are changing and what the likely direction that it will be moving in.
ISU's agronomy department is upgrading weather stations at several research and demonstration farms. At least 12 should be fully functional in several weeks when spring arrives. Farmers can always dig a hole themselves, of course, to try and gauge the soil moisture, but Taylor says doing so accurately is a hassle.
To really know, you have to get a measure of soil from a certain depth, weigh it, dry it, weigh it again, see how much water the drying removed from it to know how much was really there in your soil. It gets to be a real headache, and of course people aren't going to do that on a day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month basis.
At each station, moisture sensors will be placed a foot, 2 feet, and 4 feet deep in the soil. Readings will be taken every 15 minutes and sent by cellular phone text messages to the network. Each station costs around $12,000 to buy and install. It's hoped the network of weather stations can be expanded so there's one in every county, but for now, a dozen will give a good snapshot of drought conditions to help farmers manage their risks.
If you see that the weather station received an inch of rain and that the soil moisture has moved up to such and such a level from where it was at the moisture station, and you know that at your farm, because of the, maybe the gauge out on your post, that you got an inch and a quarter, you probably did a little better. Or if you got half an inch, you did do as well.
The new weather stations replace ones that have been monitoring data at the farms for more than 30 years. Taylor said the original units made up the world's first non-military network of automatic reporting weather stations. The weather stations will also measure rainfall, air and soil temperature, humidity, sunlight, wind speed and direction. A solar collector powers those units. Well, nominations are now being accepted for the title of Iowa's Best Burger. The award is handed out each year to one restaurant in the Iowa by the Iowa Beef Industry Council and Iowa Cattlemen's Association. Iowa Beef Council spokesman Michelle Bonhoeffer said that judging from past winners, the key may be keeping the burger basic.
I know that when we've reviewed the judges' comments and stuff, that's what comes to the top is, you know, when it's a really high-quality burger, you don't need a lot of additives, just a little bit of salt and pepper, and that's what really, you know, sets off great beef.
The Coon Bowl, a diner and bowling alley in Coon Rapids, won last year's competition. Co-owner Cindy Hayden noted that they don't mix anything into their half-pound burger, not even salt. Nominations for this year's contest will be accepted through March the 10th. The top 10 restaurants that receive the most nominations will be announced on March 25th.
And then we turn the contest over to an anonymous panel of judges that will go out and try the burgers, and then they will select a burger based on presentation and appearance as well as taste, and then, of course, safety, making sure it's to that medium 160 degrees. Then we'll step into announcing the winner on May 2nd.
In addition to the Coon Bowl last year, previous winners of the award were the Rusty Duck in Dexter back in 2011 and the Sac County Cattle Company in Sac City in 2010. More information about the contest rules and how to submit a nomination is available at www.iowabeef.org. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, The U.S.-led coalition in Afghanistan says so far it has found no evidence to support allegations that Afghans connected with U.S. special forces were involved in abuses that include torture, killings, and illegal detentions. Just yesterday, Afghan President Hamid Karzai ordered all U.S. special forces to leave Wardak province within 2 weeks and asked that their operations there stop immediately. Britain's highest-ranking Catholic leader said he's resigning as Archbishop following allegations he acted inappropriately with three priests and a former priest. Cardinal Keith O'Brien also says he won't be attending the conclave to elect a successor to Pope Benedict. Meanwhile, the Pope will allow cardinals to move up the conclave start date, removing the usual 15-day transition period. IKEA says it's stopped selling its meatballs in Sweden after authorities in the Czech Republic detected horse meat in them. It's not clear if the furniture maker also will stop selling its Swedish meatballs in other countries. A major winter storm is threatening to bring blizzard conditions to parts of the Central Plains states today. The National Weather Service in Dodge City, Kansas, said there could be upward of a foot across south-central Kansas, with lesser amounts across west-central and central Kansas. The storm could also bring tornadoes to the south. And two children are among the four people missing after they reported their sailboat sinking south of San Francisco. Several Coast Guard vessels and aircraft are searching the ocean following yesterday afternoon's distress call. Boaters said they had to abandon their 29-foot sailboat and did not have life rafts. News time is 8:11.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into the Dish Radio Show, sponsored by the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer. We have a very special guest today. Please help me welcome Hopper the Kangaroo.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Well, Hopper, as you very well know, Dish recently named their newest receiver after you.
After me?
Yes, it's called the Hopper. And let me tell you, they pull out all the stops when it comes to the features they packed into this one.
What kind of features, mate?
Well, they doubled the amount of space to store your recorded information. They improved the software with better graphics and easy-to-read menus. They even went with magic remotes that can shoot through walls and doors.
Crikey, is there anything it can do?
Oh, I'm not done yet. You can also watch Dish anywhere from your smartphone, tablet, or your laptop computer. And the best part, they have it at the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer.
To find out more about the new Hopper, head on down to the TV Store, your local authorized Dish retailer today at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-3032.
Only available for playback of selected primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Dish anywhere requires broadband internet. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Alexander Alex Yeager, age 17, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Children's Hospital. Funeral services for Alex Yeager will be today at 10:30 at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. The Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Max Goodner, age 88, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Max Goodner will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Ray Schaefer, age 93, of Cannon City, Colorado, died Sunday, or actually February 17th, at his home. Graveside services for Ray Schaefer will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Dexter City Cemetery. The Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter is in charge of the arrangements. Eva Mae Hansen, age 71, of Avoca and formerly of Harlan, died Thursday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Eva Hansen will be today at 1 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Vernon Bushkamp, age 85, of Erling, died Friday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home. A massive Christian burial service for Vernon Bushkamp will be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Francis McClure, age 81, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Francis McClure will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Michael Schechinger, age 74, of Westphalia, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Michael Schechinger will be tomorrow, Thursday at 10:30 at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Eileen Haynes, age 91, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Eileen Haynes will be this Friday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Craig Cullen, age 53, of Greenfield, died Wednesday in Des Moines. A gathering of remembrance for Craig Cullen will be on Friday from 4 until 8 p.m. at the 4-H building at the Adair County Fairgrounds. in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Norman Henriksen, age 86 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Norman Henriksen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. That is a check of our news brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.